your Bibles, if you would, and find your place in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. And it's hard to imagine, hard to believe, especially in a day and age such as we live in a day of capitulation, in a day of compromise, in a day of not standing by the Word of God, that a church such as this next week will celebrate 136 years. And we'll say more about the local church next Sunday, but tonight I want to get it started just a little bit by giving us a thought on the importance of the local church. The importance of the local church. Notice there, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse number 15 and 16. The Bible says this, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in to glory." I want you to notice that phrase in verse number 15, the last or the middle part of the verse and the last part of the verse. The house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You realize tonight that this building, this institution, this organization is not just any other building. It's not just any other institution. It's just not some other organization. This building houses within it the house of God, the church of the living God, and the church of the living God is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, we know tonight that the building is not the church. Each one of us here tonight, we make up what is the local New Testament church. We could leave here tonight, we could lock up the doors, and Lord forbid, a tornado could come through Sarah, Pennsylvania tonight with all the rain and knock this building to the ground, and yet the church would still exist because the people would still exist. And so we could come here on Wednesday and we could meet in the on the sidewalk out here on the lawn. And we could still have church because the church is not a building. The church is each one of us. The church is the people. Someone once said this about the church: for all of its problems, the local church is still God's only divine institution for doing the work of God. Listen to that again. For all of its problems, and churches, because they are made up of people, they do have problems. For all of its problems, the local church is still God's only divine institution for doing the work of God. Now listen, I'm thankful tonight for a place like the Bridge. I am. They meet a need in our community, but the work of God has not been given to the Bridge. The work of God has been given to the local New Testament church. I'm thankful for a radio station like Family Life Network, but the work of God has not been given to a radio station. The work of God has been given to a local New Testament church. I'm thankful tonight for the radio station down in Moroton, WFLN, I think it is. Is that it? The one that does the Southern Gospel music, and WPEL, yes. And you know, I'm thankful for them. They've been here when we hosted the tribute quartet and they helped promote the gospel quartets and the gospel concerts that go on in churches in this area. But they have not been given the work of God. The church has been given the work of God. There are many quote unquote parachurch organizations, and they might very well be doing a good work, but they have not been given the task. They have not been given the duty of doing the work of God. It is only the local church that has been given the task of doing the work of God. You say, how do we know that? Well, because God has only instituted three institutions. He's instituted the family. And by the way, it was the family first that God instituted. Then he instituted the church. And then he instituted the government. And there is only one that has been made and intended for exalting the Savior, for edifying the saints, and evangelizing the lost, and that is the local New Testament church. You know, tonight I don't know where I would be if it were not for the local New Testament church. Many years ago now, in 1999, my friends and I, we were outside playing in the fire hydrant, and my friend said, well, I got to go. I'm going to church. And I didn't know what church was. We were raised Catholic, and we would maybe go once or twice a year for Christmas or for Easter if we were lucky. And I said, well, what's that all about? Can anybody go? And he said, yeah, we just ride a van and we go in the church. And so I asked my parents, hey, can I go to church with my friend Sean? And they said, sure, go ahead. And so I remember that first night, we were standing there at the corner waiting for the church van to come pick us up. And here comes this 15-passenger van. And by the way, there were never 15 kids in the van. There was more like 20, 25, 30 that we stuffed in the one 15-passenger van. How we never got pulled over by the police to this day, I still have no idea. But we stuffed 20 or 30 kids in that van. That was just one of about three or four church vans that we had that we ran all over the city picking up boys and girls for church. And but that night in July of 1999 was the first time I went to a local New Testament Bible believing Bible preaching church. And then it was August 1st, 1999 that I trusted Christ as my Savior. That one of the deacons, he took me into the office and showed me from the Bible how I could be saved. And that night, I gave my life and my heart to Jesus Christ. And then as I became a teenager, kind of got out of church, strayed a little bit. But then in 2005, got back full-time into church. And so, you know, I don't know where I'd be without the church. And I don't think you know where you'd be without the church tonight. Because it's the church that makes the difference in our lives. And, you know, perhaps you've heard it said, and people say it all the time. Well, you know, they say, well, I don't need church. I can fellowship with God anywhere. And I've heard that all my ministry career, that, you know, I invite somebody out to church, or people give excuses as to why they can't come to church. And that's usually one of them. Well, yeah, I don't need church. I can fellowship with God anywhere. I can worship God anywhere. And that's true. But the Bible still says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. If you're going to ever be the full Christian that God wants you to be, then you're going to find yourself a part of a local New Testament church. It's just that simple. The other people have said, well, churches, they're just full of inconsistencies. They're just full of hypocrites. I have no use for churches. Well, you know what? If you ever find a church that doesn't have those things, don't you join, because then it won't be perfect anymore. Because you and I, we're just imperfect people trying to serve a perfect God. Some other people have said, well, I know I'm saved, but I haven't been to church in a long time. It's a long story. Oh, I bet it is a long story. Some people say, well, I just keep visiting churches, but I can't seem to find one that's right for me and my family. We've had those people too that say, oh, I just keep visiting churches. There's a name for people like that, church hoppers, that they just hop from one church to another. You know, as you read the Bible, you find very quickly God would have you to get involved in one church and stay in one church and grow in one church. And we had it in Oklahoma. We've had it here. People have come and gone. And I know some people tonight, they've been in this church. And in 4 years since we've been here, they've left this church. They've went to another church. They've left that church. They've went to another church. They've left that third church. And now they're in the fourth church. It's almost as if they're trying a new church a year. And every year they're in a different church. Folks, you will never grow that way. You will never become consistent that way. You need to get you in a church where you can grow in the Lord. Some other folks might say, well, I can read my Bible and pray and be a witness for the Lord without going to church. But you can do that, but you're not playing by the rules according to what God has said. Look again there at 1 Timothy chapter 3. And notice there again, verse number 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so you see tonight, the Bible gives us some clear instruction about the local church, doesn't it? And there are several things we need to remember. Number one, we need to remember that church is Jesus' creation. You see, this church tonight, it wasn't my idea. Years ago, this window here talks about Pastor Cooper from the Waverly Baptist Church. Well, he had the burden to plant this church here in Sayre, but the church wasn't Pastor Cooper's idea or his creation. The church was Jesus' idea. The church was Jesus' creation. Matthew 16, 18, the Bible says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you see tonight, your church, First Baptist Church of Sayre, Pennsylvania, belongs to God. God's Son purchased the church with His precious blood. That's why we always say, when someone comes forth for membership, we make sure that they understand, okay, you are joining the church. We are not joining you. What that means is, because some people, they come to join a church, and all of a sudden they want everything done their way. But that's not the Bible way. Things are going to be done God's way, the Lord's way. And we see that here because it's His possession. It belongs to Him. And so we see that as it is Jesus' creation, then we see the next truth, and that is this. You cannot be right with God and not love the church of God. You cannot be right with God and not love the church of God. 1 John 4:20, the Bible says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And so what John is saying there is that how can we say we love God if we hate each other? If we hate each other, we can't possibly love God. We need to love each other if we're ever going to love God. You see, God doesn't want to hear how much you love Him if you don't love His people. And then we see, thirdly and finally tonight, that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, despite what this world would have you to believe and what certain quote-unquote Christian organizations would have you to believe, there really is such a thing as true doctrine. There really is such a thing tonight as correct church polity or church order. And in order, the Lord has set forth the order in the church of it being the pastor, the deacons, and then the congregation. But those aren't the most important church polity issues. Those aren't the most important church order issues. No, the most important church parts of the church and church polity are the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Those are the most important things when it comes to a church. And as Christians tonight, we are a body of believers that with the Holy Spirit should work in unity. And so tonight we see that the church of Jesus Christ is God's idea. And so we see here the Bible says that the church is the pillar of ground of the truth. So what are we to do with the truth? What are we to do with the truth? Well, number one tonight, I believe the Bible teaches us that we ought to teach the truth. We ought to teach the truth. Look there, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice there, if you would, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And here's the key, verse number 2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Now, that word commit just simply means teach. And so Paul here to Timothy says, the same thing I have taught you, then you go and teach others so that they will be able to go and teach others. So here it is. Here's what the church is supposed to do. As the pastor, I'm supposed to teach you what the Bible says. And then you should be able to turn around and be able to teach what I've taught you to others. Now, you might say, well, pastor, I'm not a pastor, or I'm not, you know. And listen, I understand tonight, not everybody can get up here and do what it is that I'm doing. They just can't do it. It's not their calling. It's not what the Lord has gifted them with. I understand that. But that's not what the verse is talking about. The verse is not talking about standing behind a pulpit and preaching this to somebody. No, the Bible is saying, okay, you've been taught some doctrines from the pulpit. Well, now you should be able to take what you've been taught and relay it to other people in the church that may not understand. And then once they get it, then they can turn around and relay it to others. And so the first thing we need to see about the truth is we need to teach the truth. And then secondly, we see we need to live the truth. Look, if you would, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And notice there, if you would, verse number 7. Galatians 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" And so we see here that once we know the truth, we ought to obey the truth. We ought to live the truth. But you also notice what it says. You notice what Paul is saying to the church at Galatia. He asks the question, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Listen, once you know the truth, God expects you to live the truth. He expects you to obey the truth. But there are going to be people in your life who do not want you to listen to the truth. There are going to be people in your life who do not want you to obey the truth. And they're going to do everything they can and everything humanly possible to get to or try to hinder you from doing what is right. Don't listen to them. Don't give in to them. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., he once said, do right until the stars fall. And that's what we ought to do as Christians. Do right until the stars fall. And so we see we ought to teach the truth. We ought to live the truth. And then thirdly and finally, we ought to contend for the truth. We ought to contend for the truth. Look, if you would, the book of Jude tonight. The book of Jude, right before Revelation. Jude there. And notice there, if you would, verses 3 and 4. Again, the Bible says this, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here it is. Once you know the truth, you ought to stand for the truth. There are going to be people that they are going to try, as the Bible says here, they are going to try and turn the grace of God and deny the Lord God. Listen, you know, if you know it to be right, you stand for it. Even if nobody else is standing with you, you still stand. Listen, in my January of next year, I will have been pastoring for 10 years now. 5 years before that, as a youth pastor and an assistant pastor. And especially in those 10 years, yes, in those 5 years, but those 5 years, if something went wrong, then I could go to the pastor and the pastor could deal with it. Well, now when anything goes wrong, it all falls on my desk. But in those 10 years, I've had people come and get sideways with me and get upset with me and all the rest. But you listen, if I know it to be true, then I'm not backing down. And I don't care who gets mad, who gets upset, who leaves, whatever the case may be. If it's right, we stand for what is right. If it's in the Bible, we stand for what the Bible says. We contend for the faith. Now, listen, that doesn't say be contentious for the faith. Because there's a lot of people tonight, they can become contentious. And that I don't believe that's what God would have us do. Just don't become contentious for the sake of becoming contentious and cranky and, you know, ornery and all the rest. No. But if we know it to be right, we stand for what is right. And so here's the takeaway for tonight's message. And it's this, and it's simple. We cannot be right with God and not love His institution and His people. And so when I found a church that is preaching sound doctrine, then we're to seek the Holy Spirit's leading as we seek unity with God's children. Next week, this church celebrates 136 years of standing for God and standing for truth, standing for that which is right. And should the Lord tarry in His coming, may we stand for another
136 years. But let's be thankful tonight for the local New Testament church. Let's pray.